85% of people prefer text over email and phone calls because they want to engage in a conversation. All text messaging is not equal. Customers respond to people, not bots. Be more like people and start having conversations that end in conversions. Use Skippio.
You're listening to Still This Idea, the only podcast that's still playing Doodle Jump.
The thief and the liar.
I only lied about being a thief.
Steal.
Lie.
We're going to steal the ship.
Commandant. No, don't
take it. An idea that is fully formed, fully understood, that sticks.
Well, someone like you to steal?
Ideas are bulletproof.
I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence.
Steal this idea.
Low battery. All right, if this episode crashes out halfway through, I've never had it die in me mid-episode.
Okay, well, let's get going then.
Okay. 3, 2, 1. Hello again, thieves.
Hey, we're back.
We're back.
We're back. I forgot I'm supposed to say we're back now.
We are back. We had a last-minute audible.
Yes.
Andre, tell us about what happened with your old flight situation here, Andre.
So in mid-October, I booked a trip. Not even mid-October, like October 23rd. I booked a trip to go to D.C. to see one of my friends. And just kind of like booked it and didn't really think much about it. And then I'm sitting in a meeting this morning. And for me, the DC trip is next weekend at this point. I kind of had it in my head it was the second weekend of November. I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I get a pit in my stomach when I see it's time to check in for your flight notification from Delta. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's tomorrow. So it turns out I'm going to DC tomorrow instead of next weekend, unexpectedly. And now we have to do the podcast today.
Now, normally that's not a big issue. Normally it's like, that's fine, whatever. We, you know,
yes.
But we had something
Scott's
scheduled.
That's going to shame me. We had a pretty special guest scheduled.
A pretty good guest. We're going to have to reschedule with the guest, which is fine. So we had to kind of piece together an episode last minute. Although,
We feel really good about the agenda.
We're feeling pretty confident. So we're going to hop into this episode. We're going to start with good idea, bad idea. And then we have a couple, fun things to sizzle for later in the episode here.
Great,
Andre, shoot me your first one here.
So, well, I wanted to do our game again.
Okay, that's fine.
So I have a new form of pain relief, a coffee accessory,
okay,
a new way to keep calm, another photo gift, and another dumb kids item.
Well, I feel like I skipped out on the kids item last time, so I want to do the kids item.
Because you have the kids.
Yep. Yeah. A new way to relieve pain, because I'm always looking for that.
Great.
And then we'll try the photo gift, because I'm not much of a coffee drinker.
The coffee one's really good. No. Sure. Okay. So let's start with the kids item. So I got this ad on Instagram, and it's like essentially, so it's called Gather. And they make a whole bunch of like goofy kids things. But the thing I'm most interested in.
Is that spelled right? Or is that?
Okay, yeah, D. Well, it's not spelled right. It's spelled fancy. Please.
Gather.
Gather. So it's G-A-T-H-R-E. And I'm pretty sure it's Gather. So they have a bunch of stuff. They have like, goofy looking kids toys. And like, it's clearly like kind of like a West Elm catalog in a way. But the thing that they really, really market to me on Instagram is their mats. So they make these like leather play mats. I don't know a lot about like the play mat business.
It's like a yoga mat.
No, like you put your kid on the mat, I think.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And then the kid plays on the mat.
I guess.
And I'm just like really curious if this is something that parents actually like want. It's a great as a changing mat, placemat, pet mat, or desk mat. And then they have a little picture of a baby laying on the mat. And it's like some sum of money, and you can get it in like ginger leather or pewter leather or raven or saddle leather. And all these different things. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know a lot about the mat business. So I'm curious, like, are playmats like something that parents invest in, or is this just a weird website?
So what this looks like to me is are you familiar with Baby Cubby?
No.
So Baby Cubby is a storefront here that is, it's like a store for like toddlers and baby stuff. And you go in there and it's like onesies are like $35. Like,
yeah.
Everything is just like so expensive.
Yeah.
So this looks like basically that, but on a website, which is like, all right, there are, whether you are rich or very rich, there's a good chance you have babies and you want to differentiate yourself.
Yeah.
And this is
a way to do that.
This is items for like wealthy people who are looking for like very cute and chic and hip things.
Is this how you outfit your children?
No. So like
cute and hip and chic.
Here's the thing. Like, I get the idea of a baby mat, and I'm sure it's one of those things. It's like, yeah, I'm sure every mom would like, yeah, I'd love to have a cute baby mat. Like, yeah. Why not? But like, you just use a blanket or
agreed.
Especially if it's not your first, like on your first kid, this is like a trap. Yeah. I got to get the baby mat for right. My first kid.
Yes.
And then as you have your second kid, you're like, looks like you're in the blanket. Yeah. And as your third kid, you're like, the grass is fine. And that's just how it goes.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't have time to roll up this like fancy.
Yeah. Mat. It sounds like this is just part of a greater cultural movement of like fancy stuff
for kids. Totally. Yeah,
exactly.
And there is an element of that movement that I like, which is like, I think I don't really love like baby clothes or like kid clothes. I really like adult clothes that are made for kids.
Yeah.
They're simple and like clean lines and stuff that adults wear. I really like that stuff. But some of this stuff where it's like, this is like really fancy bibs.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Like, this is $18 for a bib. You can get a bib for like $2.
But they look really nice.
Yeah. And so if I'm rich and I have my rich friends coming over for dinner and I have a baby, of course I'm going to spend $18 because that's nothing to me. But
right.
This is a website for rich people. This is not meant for normal parents.
Well, fine. All right.
It's a website that I imagine it gets pinned on every... Yeah. Every you know, any person who cares about childcare
has
gathered pictures on their Pinterest because they are pretty, like undeniably good looking stuff here.
Yeah,
but like,
all right. I thought maybe I was going to sell you a baby mat today. I guess not.
It is a good idea because I think people will. It's like, yeah sure, like
for my gram, like
totally.
Yeah,
it totally looks good for the gram, but yeah. Like. As a reasonable, thrifty person, would I ever buy anything from this website?
All right.
Let's hit me with some pain relief, Andre. How about that?
All right, let's do pain relief. So this is called Paincakes. Pain, P-A-I-N, cakes. And it's this cold pack that sticks.
So this is not, I guess it is kind of a play on pancakes.
Yes, it is definitely, because it looks like a pancake made of like that gel material that ice packs are made of.
Interesting.
And the idea is that it's adhesive, so rather than like a typical cold pack where you gotta
hold
like
it.
Hold it or tie it or do something crazy, this you just slap it on that thigh and it chills you right up.
I love the blatantly photoshopped.
Oh yeah, it's like this has never actually been placed on a person before. It's just been photoshopped on.
There's a part of me that kind of respects this. I'm going to be honest.
What do you mean kind of? This is like obviously a good idea.
Yeah. Like it's funny because it looks so cheap in its like presentation.
Yeah.
Like this is like so QVC as seen on TV. Mm-hmm. Like, don't you hate it when your hand freezes? Like, I can't. Introducing pancakes.
Yeah.
Call now for 10 pancakes for $9.95.
I love it. I feel like you're hating.
And it comes in lime green and purple.
Do you not feel this like, have you never had an ache?
So here's the thing. I don't use ice packs enough to be like, I need a better solution.
Well, see, us athletes.
Yes.
We're constantly.
I could totally see somebody who's a runner or somebody who's like using ice packs a lot being like, oh, this is handy. Especially if there's probably a hand, like she has this on like the back of her neck. Mm-hmm. That seems really convenient to me.
Yes.
You know, or like.
I get my hands like, I run hot, but if I hold like a cold can, my hands start hurting like almost immediately.
I'm the same.
And I love the whole concept. This seems like the clear way to do cold packs is to have them stick.
$15 for one though.
I mean, it's reusable, right?
It is reusable.
Yeah.
I guess what's a regular? Like,
this is a one time.
I mean, because I can get a bag of corn, a frozen bag of corn, for $1.50.
For $1.50. Scott knows the exact price of a frozen bag of corn. I'm looking at other cold packs on Amazon. It looks like a really, really cheap one is $10.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So this isn't like, whoa, this is the luxury cold bag.
I mean, it's expensive if you're comparing it to corn bags. And
yes, it is expensive compared to corn.
Yeah. I kind of grew up in a vegetable bag as an ice pack family.
Same, to be honest.
But I see the value in this. I'm going to say good idea.
No, it's definitely a good idea. Like, it maybe isn't necessary, but it's a good idea.
Here's the thing, though. It all depends on that adhesive. That's one of those things where it's like, if that thing goes out, I guess at the worst case, it just becomes a regular ice pack.
What was our other thing that we were like, it all depends on
that,
the adhesive?
That thing that goes on your posture thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is probably a better idea than that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, all right.
All right, moving on. AuraFrames.com. And AuraFrames makes a my third link on that with a list of links.
Yeah, this looks like a just a picture frame.
Yeah, well, so it, basically what it is, and the reason I bring it to the podcast is because we've talked, like I said, about so many different photo GIFs, and this is probably the only one that I'm actually kind of convinced by. And essentially what it is it's like a subscription where you can send a loved one 5 prints a month, and then they slot into this like frame that you also send them.
Interesting.
So that they, you could like potentially have like, let's say my grandparents want to have updated photos of all of their grandkids, and using the Aura frame, you can make it very easy to send them 5 updated photos each month. And then also this like little frame that they just slot right into the top of. So you don't have to do the whole frame business.
Now, the obvious comparison is going to be to the digital frame, which it looks like they sell one.
They also have a digital frame. I think digital frames, I think, are kind of lame, in my opinion.
A little cheap.
I mean, maybe they've come a long way. Maybe the modern digital frame is cool. But I can remember people in my life having digital frames like in the 2008.
Yeah.
Or 2005.
I remember when they first came out and being like, that's a great idea. But you don't see them.
No.
Who has them? No one has them.
I think it became cool to do things analog.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like the same reason that the Polaroid all of a sudden is like back. Yeah. Right. And I think it's because
vinyl records,
even though we all have smartphones, for some reason, it's cool to have something physical. And I think because of that, the digital frame, where it costs so little to get the photo printed.
Yeah.
It's like, do I really need the digital frame, or could I just actually print?
So is this a service? Like I have to get the prints from them?
Yeah. So 1 frame, 5 photos a month, countless happy moments delivered. Mm. Love that.
Yeah. If I could do the pictures on my own, just print it at Costco and it works the same, I'm a little more into that.
Which I'm sure you could, actually, right? Because it's just a standard photo frame.
It's not like some weird size that only.
It's like
I wouldn't put it past them.
There's an RFC chip that it checks to know if it's yours or not.
Just shreds your picture.
Yeah. I think it's a kind of a cool idea. I think I like the idea of sending prints, and then I like when they little drop it into the frame and it just like plops.
That
in
does seem like very satisfying. Yeah. And I think you're right that like the grandparent play here of like I choose the pictures, it goes to grandma, and grandma gets the pictures like, oh, and perfect, she's so and she excited. Kind of slots them yes. in. I could also see just a big stack of prints on her desk.
What an accusation.
Yeah.
No, I think.
Never.
You have to send it to someone that would like it, obviously.
Yeah. Well, I just think they're like, oh, but I just really like that one, though. I just.
Yeah. I could see it myself just being lazy about putting photos in.
That's what I mean, though.
Into the app, even, though. Like, oh, sure. On the other end, being like, oh, I just haven't gotten 5 photos yet. I don't know. Something to noodle on, AuraFrames.com.
I don't hate it. How much is it?
That is a great question that I actually haven't explored.
Because if it's not too expensive, sure. But if it's like $99.
So the whole system, so the frame plus the subscription for a 3-month minimum is $23.97 total. So about $7 a month.
And then beyond that, how much is it a month for the subscription? Because I'm fine paying... frames are frames.
I would assume that it's going to be about $7 a month, no matter what, like into infinity.
Interesting.
But that you have to do at least 3 months at a time. Yep, $7.99 a month. That's what it says.
So $8 a month for 5 pictures.
But you have to do at least 3 months.
Yeah.
Because they want to get their money back on the frame, essentially.
Yeah, I guess. See, I would be fine doing this for a year if I knew my monthly cost was lower, but $8 a month, like you can print 5 pictures at Costco for like 60 cents.
And that's what I'm saying is, but you could get the frame. I have a feeling that people who actually like do this stuff, like put up frame photos, are like, there are already frames that you can slot the picture into, like from the top.
I don't know. Frames are kind of annoying.
That's what I'm saying. You got to do the little hanging guys.
Yeah. I really like the mechanism of slot. If it was just that, I could actually get on board with that.
Yes. Sell me just the frame.
Yeah.
And like, that's like kind of, I'm into that.
I'm into just the frame.
Which they do sell just the frame, but
is it what, $35?
I don't know. How much work am I expected to do?
Yeah, that's far too much.
The frame is No, that's the electric frame. The digital frame is $300.
What?
Yes.
That's insane.
The digital frame. I thought that I was looking at the analog frame, and I was like, I hope that it's not $300.
That's so expensive. Are you kidding me?
I know.
Okay. I got one for you here, Andre.
Okay.
Joy this morning, my wife, I got to find it. She said, I stumbled across this thing, and I think Andre would really like it.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, interesting. What is it? And she's like, it's a Scandinavian thing, and now I can't.
It's a Scandinavian thing.
And I cannot find
it. So things I know that Scott's wife knows about me is my affinity for Scandinavian items.
Where is it?
Wow. Wow, 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 Scott.
Where did she send me this? We communicate across so many different mediums.
You know, we do the same thing. Like, I at all times have chats with the same people going on Facebook Messenger, Instagram, Threads.
Yeah, it's too much.
I know. Text message, Slack. Like, I can have five conversations happening with somebody.
Okay, I found it.
Okay.
It's called Yamazaki Home.
Okay.
I'll show you the picture here. There's a couple things you really liked. But so the idea here is,
wow,
it's this kind of very minimalist storage solution in many ways, but what it does is it's magnetic. It sticks to the side of your refrigerator, and on it you would have a place to put paper towel rolls. You'd have a place to hang scissors, oven mitts, rags, things like that. And she was like, "This seems really smart. Like this, all this unused space on the side of your fridge, like it's just crap and magnets. Just you know, they just assemble there anyway. But this is like clean. It's like nice looking." I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Very into it.
Yeah.
I think like I love storage for one.
Yeah.
And I really want to live in a world where everything has its place. And what the – so, I mean, it's basically a rack that goes on the side of the fridge and has, like Scott said, a spot for a paper towel and a spot for a dish rag and all these different things.
Yeah.
I think a perfect idea. What makes me sad is that at my house, like my fridge is in like a little
It's like jammed in somewhere.
Little cabinet thing. Like there's like a they've done cabinet wall on one side. So it wouldn't work in my house unless I put it on the front, which would be weird, but maybe also could work.
Maybe the future, you know?
No, definitely. And in a world where I like owned my home, I could even make decisions based on that, right?
There was another one that she really liked, which was basically like a drying rack for bottles, like water bottles. That was like really minimal. But she's like, yeah, I can never really dry these water bottles like the way, like a Hydro Flask.
Yeah.
And it was just this like four little wires coming out.
Anyway. Yeah.
Yamazaki Home.
Yamazaki.
Sounds like Joy was on the money on that one.
Yes, definitely.
The other one, Andre, my sister.
This one wasn't specifically recommended for me, right?
Not specifically for you, but...
But you think I'll like it
It's anyway? A callback. So no, this is a callback to an old episode about peanut butter.
Okay.
So I just sent you the link there. And you tell me your impressions when you see that picture there. So this is... so
I don't know even...
So this is part of GIF's... GIF is the GIF the peanut butter. They have a new marketing campaign. And they're doing a whole bunch of just like weird kind of things. The tagline is, it's jiffing good.
Yes.
And the picture here is somebody slicing open a
like a ham, but it's not ham. It's a jar of peanut butter. It's a
jar of peanut butter. And it made her think of, you know, the peanut butter taking out layers at a time.
Yes.
Anyway, I just thought that was funny.
Well, so what I want a good idea, bad idea is this ad campaign. Where I don't know, do you look at Jif peanut butter and think like that's the good stuff?
Jif?
Uh huh. Because I look at Jif peanut butter and I think that's the bad stuff. I think that's like I
interesting. Okay, give me your ranking of peanut butter, like top shelf.
So Adams, I think it's called, which is like, so the organic
stuff,
the great stuff, right?
The sweaty stuff.
Yes, it's sweaty, but that's part of it. And then there's Skippy. Below that, Skippy Chunky, Skippy Creamy, and then
Peter Pan.
Then everything else, Jif, and then Peter Pan. Because Peter Pan, I literally think of as a disgusting peanut butter. There's like Peter Pan exec out there. It was just a single tier roll stand. It's like not my peanut butter. Not agree?
So I would look at Skippy and Jif as the same to me.
Okay,
and I'd be like, they are Procter & Gamble, like. It's tied, you know, it's like, it's all the same.
Yeah. I just like their branding better. Jif looks like it's from the 60s to me.
I could see that.
Same with Peter Pan.
Yeah. I definitely wouldn't say it's the bad stuff. I would say it's like middle of the road, generic. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's fine.
It's a brand name. So I probably am saying too much to say it's the bad stuff, but I look at it and I think I'd pick
Jif over Skippy. I think I would.
Okay.
I'd love to hear from the thieves though. What is your peanut butter ranking? Peanut butter hierarchy. I'll put a tier list up.
Yes.
I would love to know. Cause I bet you people are pretty opinion. Cause I think.
Yeah. I think it depends on what you grew up with. Right, like I think that.
Yeah, because I didn't grow up with Adams at all.
Really, I kind of grew up with Adams in the house and Skippy.
My wife is big on natural peanut butter. I've come around to it actually.
Joy, come tell. You're on my team here.
Yeah, I think it's fine, but peanut butter. I'm trying to find healthy peanut butter in general. So I the most recent peanut butter I got, I think, was Jif. It was like a natural Jif. Anyway, that's all. Okay. Well, that's going to wrap it up for Good Idea, Bad Idea.
A great addition.
It always is. As always. Now we are going to move into a few quick product reviews.
Yeah.
Andre is going to not tell us about toilet paper.
No toilet paper updates this time.
Let's see what you got for us.
So Solitunes.
Remember Solitunes, yes.
They are the over-eye headphones.
I've been waiting for this review.
Literally so good.
Really?
So good. Yeah, I was trying to think what I want to say.
I was waiting for
so there are two components to it.
Trash of the world.
And I want to be upfront about my feedback for Solitunes, which is that the actual material of the eye mask is like so sleek and feels so nice and feels high quality.
Interesting.
And I feel like it's gonna last from that perspective.
Is it like an elastic band that like you can kind of feel it?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It provides eye pressure if that's what you want. Yes. But not intensely pressure. Okay. So that's my review of Solitunes, but I will say that the Bluetooth, the pairing is
connecting Bluetooth. Fine.
There's no racist undertones. I think that the Bluetooth pairing could be improved, and definitely the like Bluetooth element feels very cheap.
It's not the Apple W2 chip.
No, it's not. But the headphone quality is fine. There's no disruption in the bedroom.
Okay.
Like, it's very good from that perspective.
Solitunes. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up for Solitunes.
I'll be interested. Because I often find myself, like, wanting to turn on a podcast. But I'm like, I'll, like, wake up my wife. And I'm pretty picky on night masks, though. So that's going to be.
Yeah. And I think if you were picky about masks.
Pressure especially. Like, I need, like, almost no pressure.
Oh. Okay. Well, don't get this. Because there is pressure. And I kind of like it.
Yeah.
A lot of people must. Little baby hands pressing your eyes.
It's the worst visual. Okay, good to know. It's all tunes.
Yes. Do you want me to do my next one?
Yes.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? Okay. So VR headsets.
Okay.
Have we talked about this much at all? My thoughts. I think we maybe had a conversation about them. Who knows?
Getting a VR headset?
The people that write the Steal This Idea wiki can let us know. So last Sunday, I bought
an
Oculus Rift S. So I previously had the Oculus Rift a long time ago.
Not the Quest.
And they also have like some other Oculus Go, Oculus Quest, Oculus S, and the original Oculus.
Yes.
I think are all the versions that are out there right now.
Somebody who works with us has the Oculus Go, mm-hmm. which is a phone one.
Yes, I think so.
I was really
Oculus Quest is completely wireless.
I was really intrigued by that one.
Yeah, but it's
still pretty basic.
Yeah, it's basic. And like I have a gaming computer, so I don't need to be tethered to anything, or I don't need to be limited by anything like that.
Right.
I have the computer. I just have to wear a cord, which is kind of a bummer. So I went with the Quest S, or just the Oculus Rift S, and big fan.
Really?
Loving it. So I previously had the Oculus Rift. I had a Vive. I've had like everything in the market. And this is like the first time I've actually been able to have fun and like enjoy it and not be bogged down by like constant.
Andre was just miserable before.
Yes, it kind of was. And
we did talk about the Face Your Fears VR game last episode.
Oh, that's right.
So maybe that's what you're thinking of.
Maybe, yeah. Well, love the Oculus Rift S. Highly recommend.
Super hot.
And we're going to talk more about it. I don't like shooters.
Yeah, but Superhot's like only kind of a shooter.
No guns in my games. Just kidding. There's plenty of guns, but I'm not a shooter person.
What's your go-to?
I'll talk about it later on the podcast.
On this,
I see. We're getting into my Steelers joystick.
Got it.
Which is later.
All right. Do you want to move on from product updates and do kind of the special?
Yeah. I don't think I have any more product updates. Rift S, great. Solid Tunes, great.
Good. That's two thumbs up from Andre.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we this next segment here, we are taking a page from our newest fan, Illust Preacha. Illust recommended we incorporate some sort of Iron Chef chopped type segment into the show where we essentially are randomly given a set of ingredients, or in this case, areas in which we could come up and craft an idea for someone to steal and do it on the spot. So what we're going to do here is we have kind of two parts to this. One is the type of medium in which this idea will exist. Is it an app? Is it a storefront? Is it an invention? And then we have a kind of a random list of things that we're going to have.
Literally things.
So an app in this or a service in this, and we're just going to have to make a good idea for someone to steal. I'm excited.
Love it. So one question I have is, do you want to do two? Like I spin an idea and you spin an idea? Or we do one and we just workshop it together?
I think let's do one together and we'll see how fast it goes.
And then maybe we do another.
And if we have time, we'll do another.
Okay. So first we're going to spin the type business. We got a wheel spinning. Picture it in your head. App.
Okay, easy.
Which, feeling good about apps.
Okay.
I know how an app works. Yep. I know what apps are. And the topic, spinning. We got like a billion ideas on this one.
No.
Toilet paper. I think both Scott and I were going back and forth on whether or not we would just spin again.
Oh, man.
But I think that we can't.
Yeah, at this point.
Like, it's against the Iron Chef doesn't turn to
the Iron Chef doesn't say, I don't want chocolate in my cereal. He says, I got to find a way.
It's just funny because we somehow got through product updates without talking about toilet paper. And now
Here we are. Okay. So an app about toilet paper
app.
So there's a couple things that initially come to mind here.
Yeah.
What are the problems with toilet paper? So one is that you run out.
Uh-huh.
So there could be something around like some sort of like tracking, like I start tracking how often my toilet paper is running out. And then over time it learns my cadence. And it says, hey, there's a good chance your toilet paper is going to run out this week. You should go stock up, get some rolls in your room. So it'd be pretty simple.
Yeah. I like that. Like tell us when it runs out, and then we will tune ourselves to know when it runs out, and we'll send you a push notification before it's out.
That'd be a pretty easy one, I think.
Yeah. I think you could develop that in like a Google spreadsheet. I think that that's like not too bad. I think
monetization is going to be tough on that one.
No, I think it's definitely kind of like a free, it's something you do for the world.
Okay.
Right. I don't think that there's a huge maybe.
Maybe Charmin picks it up.
Maybe what you do is you get revenue on like the Amazon referral link that's like buy toilet paper now.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. So now
I came up with revenue there.
So at first you're probably not going to get the Charmins. You're going to get the Bippies, and you're going to get these like, hey, try this toilet paper.
Well, then that works too, right? And maybe Bippy says, can we put a $10 coupon code in your app, and then we'll give you X percent of the sale. But if that doesn't work, what I want to go back to is like the Amazon referral link where you can get a percentage of the Amazon sale by referring people, and you're just trying to sell toilet paper basically.
Hard thing is just getting people in there and using it. Though you do have a captive audience.
Yeah.
You know, if you like.
Oh, I know, I get it.
You get the time there.
So my other idea
where
my head goes is the way more audacious way, which is. So yesterday we were talking to a coworker about, it's like if anybody remembers Yik Yak.
Oh, yeah.
This is like a competitor with her. And I can't actually remember what it's called, though.
The new one?
Yeah. It's got some crazy, stupid name.
It is, anyway.
He doesn't know. But basically, what I'm picturing is an app where I can post to my local area and say that I'm running out of household essentials, and then people can offer to come to my aid.
That is audacious.
I don't think that's crazy, because most people, if they knew that their neighbor needed onion powder, would give them a tablespoon of onion powder. But in the modern world, go ahead.
It's called Yodel.
Yodel, yes. It's like spelled weird though.
Yeah, it's Yodel with a J.
Yes, which makes no sense. So it's Yodel with a J. It's an app, and people post to their local network. What I'm saying is, what if you could hit like, I need toilet paper to your local network, and some neighbor comes to your aid?
What about this?
So it's like next door, but like favors to each other.
I don't hate that. What if, I almost wonder if, I'm just trying to think, like, if there was maybe instead of like house to house, if there was like a neutral zone area, whereas like, you know, those like, you know, those library boxes that like people will put in,
the little libraries.
Yeah. Similar idea where it's just like, yeah, it's incidentals and things like that. If someone's like, hey, I need some toothpaste, and they can come and like drop it off in like this little kind of communal area.
Yeah.
Or like, I have extra this, and they can kind of put it in there. And that could include something like toilet paper, or like, I'm going out of town. And so like, they could like kind of put some extra stuff in an, you know, I'm looking for this, I need this, and it happens to be local. Like, I don't, like, there's something there.
Yeah, actually. Wouldn't it be interesting if there was? But that would be way more prone to theft.
Yeah, but if most of the stuff is like, oh, someone stole the, you know, the extra toilet paper, it's like, oh no. Like, yeah, I was giving it away anyway. Like, I'm not at a loss. It sucks for you.
I know, but like, a teen, or teens are not motivated to like go and just steal books. They kind of are motivated to go and steal like random supplies. But what would be, what if you had a business like this, which is like, there's a network, a next door like community that you have to opt into, that then allows you to unlock this like mutually shared location with your phone.
So it's almost like a mailbox, but I beep, I tap into it.
Yeah.
And
we're all contributing, right? When I have a little extra something, I put it in there, like flour, sugar.
Well, I think it's really good if you're like going, especially if you're traveling. You're like, I'm going to be gone for 10 days.
Yeah,
this will go bad. So it's you can.
I don't want to put perishables in there because like that's then what happens when it does go bad. Who's responsible for that? But I like the idea of a neighborhood communal box of like.
You have to call
it need cup, it now.
Cup emergency. Of sugar. You have to call it cup of sugar.
Cup of sugar. Really, really interesting idea. Honestly, if you're an engineer, try this like just in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Right. And just build your first box yourself and just see like, is this actually like a like, fun idea?
Yeah.
Would worst case, you get featured on the ABC or something. Right. And you actually get a little bit of fame.
Yeah. Cup of sugar.
College engineering student, set this up in your dorm.
Yeah.
And like,
especially in a college, in a college area, I think that could be.
Yeah. And just,
I got a bunch of extra like ramen. Said,
maybe there's no business here, but there is an opportunity to be in the news because you did like this really interesting creative idea.
Yeah. I'm into
the same way that little libraries were a huge news cycle item when they came out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's try one more spin. I think that was good.
Okay. Spinning again.
The medium for this next app is not an app,
a store.
A storefront. Perfect.
A store for.
A store. For, I hope it's built.
Crazy. You guys are not going to believe it. What if there was a store for cell phones?
What?
That's crazy.
Do we re-roll that or do we try and
iterate this? We re-roll it. This already exists. There are stores for cell phones. They cannot be iterated on. Every possible way of doing a store for cell phones.
Even the ones that were interesting that were like, hey, we sell everything. Those have tried and
failed. We're done. Right. No cell phones. So we're rolling again. We still want to do a store.
Store for
space.
Space.
A store for space. What if there was a store for space?
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually don't think this is a bad one.
No, I don't think so either.
Everybody remembers Space Camp. Right? Everybody has some. Maybe they didn't go to space camp, but they're aware of like, oh yeah, like people in TV shows, they went to space camp. It was just like you went off there, right? I think people love the concept of space. They love the draw of it. But like,
yeah,
what do you do right now? Like, if I wanted to like get close to space, like I would hope that my museum had a section.
Yeah,
like you don't really have a ton of options. So, I think one option is this is. Like a pseudo kids area, but it's like a science. It's like a mini science center where you go, and it's like it's a science focused kids area where it's, you're going in, and it's like welcome to space land, and it's like a fun, you know. And it's not for little kids, but it's for like
for kids
in elementary school, about the space interest age. Yeah. Probably you would stop at 8th, 9th grade.
Yeah.
But it's like stop playing. You can, you know, you learn about space. There's NASA stuff there.
Just you're just pitching a museum to me, like a children's museum.
Yeah, but this could be like you could franchise this where it's like it's like going. It's like an aquarium or a zoo where you like like you go a couple times where it's like I want to go to this like space land area. Like I think it'd be kind of fun. Like there's like fun stuff. I think people would go, especially depending how big it was. Like You get a membership and go a couple times a year.
To a space thing.
To a space thing that's equivalent to a zoo or an aquarium or like.
Oh, but they're showcasing.
It's spaced up, but there's activities and it's like, all right, now here's the lunar jump. Yeah. And now here's the space sand. And now here's the like, you have like, yeah, all these activities.
I like the comparison to like a zoo or an aquarium. It's like we got land, we got sea.
Yeah.
We should have something for space.
The final frontier.
Yes, exactly. As they say. So I kind of get into that.
Okay.
And I think like a dedicated space with a lot of like experiential learning.
Yeah, totally.
I think I can get into that. What do we call it? A spaceteria? A space.
There's got to be like space, a lunar land or something like that.
Lunar land. Oh, I hate that. It sounds like just scary.
Yeah. I don't know. There's some perfect name out there for this that's like, yeah. Duh.
Okay. Stores for space.
Can you top space?
You know, where my mind went immediately was like, there's something, somebody here even has one that's like, buy a piece of foil from the Apollo.
Oh, interesting.
Kind of thing. And I think that maybe there's room for that to be like, this is not an idea at all. But there's room for that to maybe be a mall store.
By Neil Armstrong's jockstrap.
Yes, exactly. Basically, right? Where it's like you go to the mall and the mall has a little kiosk and it's full of stuff that's from space.
Dude, I don't know if enough people want that stuff.
And you can get your space pen. No, I know that, but it's a mall store for a reason. It's because nobody wants it.
Now, here's an idea.
Mall stores are storage for items that nobody wants.
Here's an idea. This is it. I've just solved it. So the new age healing, right? Crystals, mm-hmm, aromatherapy.
Yes.
Right. So we get Wim Hof. We get a bunch of moon rocks, right?
Okay.
And now you have a whole new MLM of like, in space, there's no contagions. Everything is alkaline. Everything is this. And so by rubbing these space moon rocks on your body
you're safe.
Now, granted, you're going to have to get these rocks.
From the moon. Maybe, or you just run some regular rocks through a tumbler and all of a sudden they're moon rocks.
All of a sudden they're moon rocks. So
another idea. Yeah.
We've simulated moon rocks on Earth, but they're essentially the same.
Yes.
Healing properties.
They're moon rocks comparable. Compared to a rock from the moon.
Yeah. And you sell it as like a health, mm-hmm, a zany health thing.
Yeah. Okay. All good ideas. We have mall stores, we have an MLM, and we have a Lunar Land.
Lunar Land.
If you have a better idea for a space store, write in idea@stillthisidea.com.
That'd be tough to beat.
Definitely.
All right, let's wrap up the episode, Andre. We're going to wrap up with a Steelers joystick. Andre has a good one. I have the semblance of a good... I was thinking about this idea for a video game, but I want to hear yours because I think yours is a little more fleshed out than mine. Maybe.
Then Scott overestimates me every time. It's so annoying. So, been playing VR a lot. And my go-to game, and I don't want people to listen to the podcast and think like that you've really, you know, gotten into a podcast with like a bad person, but been playing mostly online poker in VR.
Really?
So I obviously not for money. That's illegal. But there's this game called Poker Stars VR, and it's like it's very interesting, and I'm obsessed with the concept, which is basically like, you're playing poker, not for real money, not for real prizes. Right. There's no real money equivalent. Let's be clear.
Got it.
And I enjoy Texas Hold'em, just like many people do.
Many people do.
One of my favorite games. But you're in VR, so you can look left and see the dealer, and you look right and you see another player.
If somebody happens to be like flip their cards up, you can kind of see.
Mm-hmm. Like all these things are there, and you can throw your chips in. Like you can grab your pot. Like it's very interactive. And there's voice chat, so like you're turning around, you're turning to people, you're talking to people, you're heckling people, right, doing all the things that are fun to do.
You don't have pocket aces.
Exactly, right? It's actually a really, really fun game.
Interesting.
And it's not a gambling addiction that drives it. I like the social aspect, and I like the game.
That craps?
And this is where I'm headed, which is right now, and I've kind of been through this before because I do genuinely enjoy most casino games, but I do not enjoy playing them in real life,
right,
because of the money aspect. I just hate losing
money. It's a losing
game. But what's really rewarding for me is getting online currency, and then like you buy a goofy hat or whatever,
yeah,
right? And that's part of a lot of different games. So what's surprising to me is that there has not, I know this for a fact because I've thoroughly researched it, there has not been a player that has ever been able to do this successfully. This concept of like,
A casino
that doesn't translate to real money, so you get out of the whole weird regulatory thing, but also has a great progression path for like buying items and upgrading your experience. And this PokerStars VR thing gets so close, but it only offers poker, which is a game that not, I mean, most people know how to play a hold'em, but aren't very good at it or are challenged by it, where like roulette and craps and like all these other games are all fairly easy. People know how to play them. I think that there's a real room in the category to just take all of these different casino games, put them in VR where it's fun and it's like interactive and you, and all those motions also happen to be captured by VR, right? Where VR does a very poor job of capturing like sprinting a marathon because you can't run, right? But gambling is all stationary, right? Like it can, the whole experience can be captured in VR.
Totally.
And I think if there was a game that could do it well and have many different types of games and could build a progression path that made sense and had great voice chat and all these other things, that it would be hugely successful and that hundreds of people would be interested.
I'll do you
hundreds of people would go out and buy these things.
I'll do you one better, Andre.
Okay.
There's already a franchise that you could steal from to make this perfect.
Okay.
In 1995,
okay,
Caesar's Palace on the SNES made an SNES game called Super Caesar's Palace. And it was just, you could walk around
did
and
you
play.
Have this game or you just remember
I had this game.
And you just walk around
and just play games.
Hit A and all of a sudden you're playing.
And you're playing craps, you're playing. Yeah. And it's like, you're just earning fake money and that's it. Like,
yes.
And then if you like ever, if you ever zeroed out, like you just have to start a new game. Yeah. You can see how far you can get and try and get into the high stakes room and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
This is a really crappy game, obviously.
Of course.
But like, it's a game on an SNES, which is like not plugged in the internet.
Yes.
There's no money involved. But people bought it. I had it.
Yes.
So I think that, people want it. Yes. Like there's something fun about
gambling. And I think that the counterpoint that people have made to me about this, because I've been pitching the idea before even VR, which is like, why isn't there a game that does this well, like Second Life, but in a casino, basically.
Totally.
And the argument is always just like, gamblers won't play this game and people won't play this game because there's no money involved. And I think like the crazy fanaticism people feel about like limited time items, things like that, like I know that people will grind in-game currency to get in-game items. So, I know it because you see it in every other game.
Yeah. One thing that I – anytime I play a game and there's like developers want feedback, I'm like, this is what you need to do in your game. Don't fundamentally change the game. Just provide short-term experiences that can only happen when you do a certain thing. So it's like you get a jetpack for 30 seconds and then it goes away forever.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't fundamentally change the game. It's an experience that you get. And if you want someone to pay for that, they can, or they can grind for it, right?
Yeah.
In a game like this where it's a casino and it's like what you can buy is emotes and you can buy like crazy funny costumes and maybe you get access to some like more interesting games that like other people can't play. But guess what?
Or you're grinding to get to the high stakes room, right? Which is also because you want to play with higher quality players, just like WoW, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and there's something you said, it's like, oh, I'm a this level.
Yes.
You know,
gamers love the grind.
I'm getting comped.
Uh-huh.
I kind of love the idea. Oh, what about this? Yeah. What if you have a room, like a suite?
Yeah.
And like,
I've been through this whole thing.
And you're like getting a nicer suite. People can come hang. Cause they already have like, you can hang out in people's spaces or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
But like, I have this like dope room at the Caesar's Palace.
And it's because I've been grinding on the freaking blackjack tables, right? And I think like,
or I want a slot machine. Uh-huh. I just happen to win $1 million.
Exactly.
That would be super fun. I'm into that.
It's a good idea.
That's a
really good idea. I'm telling you, if you are anything like me, you've done the research, you know that there are games like this that have like such minute traction that nobody plays them. And it's only fun if you have a mass audience appeal. PokerStars VR, if you're listening, just add more games. Add more games and you're there.
Yeah. I'm into it. Thebes, if you have any other joysticks, any other game ideas that you think someone should steal, we'd love to hear from you.
If you want seed funding on the casino game,
Romeo Butters.
Romeo Butters or me, because I'll pay you to develop this game just so I can play it.
Give us those socials, Andre. Let's wrap it up.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Go Steal This Idea. Send us an email, idea@GoSteal This Idea.com. Support us on Patreon.
Chip in a buck.
Exactly. Like I'm trying to, I'll buy this stupid kids mat for Scott's kid if that's what it takes. At Go Steal This Idea on Patreon.
Be a nice, gram.
Exactly.
If you got me that mat.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
The wifey would love it.
I bet. So you don't want to disappoint Scott's wife. Come on. Support us on Patreon. We really appreciate it. Or at the very least, rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify.
We got a big sticker shipment coming in. So as a reminder.
Oh, yeah. We got stickers.
Anybody who sends in an idea, again, idea@ghostdealsidea.com, we will send you a sticker to put in your laptop or your car or wherever you put your stickers.
Throw it in the trash. I don't care.
Don't
do that. Just kidding. I do care. Actually, I paid for them with my own money because nobody supports us on Patreon. Support us on Patreon so we can buy stickers, so we can buy the products, so that we can do cool stuff.
Thanks again for listening, Thieves, and we'll catch you in the next one.
Bye.
Use Scipio, the number one engagement tool for sales teams that want more responses, appointments, and conversations. Message your leads and customers where they are, on their phone. I'm not talking about phone calls. We're talking about true one-to-one texting. Use the code STEAL at Scipio.com for 2 free licenses. Use the code STEAL at Scipio.com for 2 free licenses. See you later, thieves.